May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A rabbit and a beaver decided to go on a trip out west, and they stopped at Hoover Dam along the way. And the rabbit, looking at this huge dam, was quite impressed and said, "Wow, that's something. Beaver, did you build it?" "No," he said, "but it's based on an idea of mine." The past few weeks in St. Luke's Gospel, we've seen Jesus confront both familial and cultural tensions that arise when we follow him. And today, Jesus tackles another tension that we face in being his disciple, the internal tension of pride. Now, we're pretty quick to decry narcissism that we see in others, and we may even be willing to make a public stand in principle against pride. It's one of the seven deadly sins. Pride goes before a fall. Wasn't the major sin of Satan before he was cast out of heaven hubris? But when we get passed over for a promotion that we think that we deserve, or some speed demon cuts in front of us while we're driving safely, or when our spouse seems oblivious to an affectionate gesture that we put a lot of time and effort into, well, we're pretty quick to demand recognition, even justice. In our gospel lesson, Jesus observes a sight of mass pettiness at a dinner party. People jockeying for places of honor. And almost like a scene straight out of some red carpet event, paparazzi sneaking, elbowing, and bickering over the best places to snap a picture of Beyonce. Here we see Jesus, right after healing someone on the Sabbath again, he offers a teaching that is geared to rake the muck of the hearts of his arrogant audience. He admonishes his hearers never to seek the place of honor whenever they are the guest. "Okay, Jesus, I can do that," you may say, gritting your teeth and giving a perfunctory smile. But then he goes a step further. When you host a party, make a point to invite and honor the lowliest, the dregs, the outcast, the unseemly. "What? Jesus, I can barely stand my family and coworkers. Why would I go out and ask some rednecks and ruffians to show up?" Could you imagine how different our garden party would have been a few, not too long ago here at St. Francis with, say, a few Hell's Angels or the most down-and-out drug addicts or, heck, random people that we ran into at Walmart while picking up our crudité. But that's exactly the challenge that Jesus lays at our feet. Humility that demands a cost. Not just agreeableness, go with the flow, live and let live, but radical meekness that genuinely puts others before ourselves. But doesn't Jesus speak in hyperbole sometimes? Well, yeah. I mean, Jesus hardly wants a bunch of people running around with eye patches just because they looked at an attractive woman and entertained lustful thoughts and decided to do that. But neither does Jesus want us to back down from a challenge that demands a change of character simply because it's too hard. Who do you count as a friend? Who do you try to hobnob with? How do you treat people who are different than you? Do you give preference to others, even if you deserve honor? What are you willing to do to help people feel welcome who aren't familiar with the circles that you're used to running in? Jesus exposes the true test of humility in how we treat other people. These tests of our hospitality and humbleness are actually found dead center in many of our cultural battles that we see played out today. How we react to potential refugees whose nationality or religion just happens to be the same as a group of known terrorists. Or how we react to police or people of color. How we react to people who cross our borders with less than perfect paperwork while trying to flee life and death situations. How we react to people whose politics differ from ours. How we react to people who are of a different socioeconomic station than our own. Fear, selfishness, and prejudice all muddle into a poison that kills civil society. One bigoted thought, feeling, and action at a time. But if we truly love Jesus, our hearts and homes would be wide open to the other, the stranger, even the enemy. If Jesus could say, "Father, forgive them," about his persecutors, even from the cross, who are we to turn our backs on those in need who make us feel uncomfortable? We say we follow Christ. Then we should obey his teaching, follow his example, rely on his Spirit to love those who we falsely esteem to be lower than us. This morning, as you consider the tensions you feel among those whom you consider undesirable, look deep within your own heart. What fears, preconceived ideas, hatred, or other baggage do you bring? What temptation towards superiority do you harbor? When have you sought to promote yourself when you ought to have placed others first? How have you contributed to the problems of racism, classism, sexism, homophobia, xenophobia? Whether or not you endorse or embrace a person's beliefs, background, or practices, that should never impinge upon showing love and welcoming another human being made in the image of our Creator. And as surely we ought to know by now that no one has the right to think of themselves as superior to another in the kingdom of God. May we all grow in humility as expressed in practical love one toward another. Let us pray. O God, you made us in your own image and redeemed us through Jesus, your Son. Look with compassion on the whole human family. Take away the arrogance and hatred which infect our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love and work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish your purposes on earth, that in your good time, all nations and races may serve you in harmony around your heavenly throne. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.